In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. A few years ago, the New York Times ran a story on the war in Afghanistan that caught my attention. It said, "Rockets began to hit the eastern districts of Kabul shortly after 3 p.m. today, sending great clouds of dust rising into the still winter air. At the Kabul Intercontinental Hotel, a man sweeping the tennis court paused for a while to watch, then calmly resumed his work." I don't remember the rest of the article. What caught my attention was the demeanor of the tennis court sweeper, who paused for a while to watch, then calmly resumed his work. In a country that's been at war one way or another for the better part of a century, no one is shocked by yet another explosion. Here in the United States, we are nearing that point, I think, sadly, in response to mass shootings in schools and movie theaters and airports. We are saddened, but we are no longer shocked. To the ears of the tennis court sweeper in Kabul, and to our ears, Isaiah's vision of a time in which swords will be beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, seems so far removed from the facts on the ground as to be absurd. But Isaiah was hardly naive about the facts on the ground. He lived in a world that was just as violent, if not more violent, than ours. Like the sweeper of the tennis courts in Kabul, Isaiah saw his homeland burning and besieged by foreign armies. But he saw more than that, and that is the critical difference. The world is changed for the good. God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven by people who see more than the facts on the ground. Gandhi, for example, saw a vision of a free and independent India when India was far from free. Martin Luther King Jr. saw a vision of equality for the races when restaurants and water fountains were still segregated. Nelson Mandela saw a South Africa that offered equal opportunity for blacks and whites from a prison cell for 27 years. Mama Hill, who we know and love, sees beautiful, talented, thriving young adults in the faces of young black teens in Watts, when others write them off as damaged beyond repair. The parents who see a healthy adult in the face of their young, sick child have a vision that gives them the power to fight the insurance companies for coverage of their experimental procedure. These people have understood that Isaiah's vision is not something God has planned for the last and final days, as if this vision of peace is something we can escape into or fantasize about being done for us someday without any participation from us. God intended this vision in Isaiah's day to change things then, and God intends this vision to change things now. God intends this bold, nearly unbelievable vision to shock us and surprise us and inspire us into seeing a different kind of future, because our greatest problem is that we fail to see. Most of us only pause a while to watch, then calmly resume our work. Let me say that I don't think we do this because we don't care, or even because we've become numb to the mayhem of the world around us. I think we do that because it's more of a sign of heart sickness. We turn away and calmly bury ourselves in the tasks and diversions of daily living because we don't know what else to do. Now, I am not into boating, as some other people here, but I have heard some advice about how to deal with seasickness in a way that seems equally applicable to this malady of heart sickness that we have. When in turbulent seas, it is my understanding that the worst thing you can do is to go below deck, put your head down, and try to wait it out, either waiting for the sea to calm down or for the boat to get to shore. That's the worst thing you can do. The best thing is to go up on deck, where you can get a glimpse of the distance. Even if you can't see land, you can fix your eyes on the unmoving horizon, and it will calm your roiling stomach and your throbbing head. Biblical visions, one commentator has said, are like this. They come to us from the future, imbued with power to shape our lives today. And this is the invitation of these visions from the book of Isaiah that we will read this Advent. The invitation not to turn away, not to go below deck with all of our fears and whatever heart sickness we have about the world, but to fix our eyes on that point on the horizon when the work of redemption that God began among us at Christmas is brought to its completion. To fix our eyes there and to let it shape us for a holy and hopeful living today. And so let's enter into Advent, gathering up all those things that bring us sadness. And let's say together and live by these words of Father Daniel Berrigan, who wrote an Advent credo, a statement of belief about Advent. Daniel Berrigan was an anti-nuclear activist. He said, "It is not true that creation and the human family are doomed to destruction and loss. This is true. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It is not true, he says, that we must accept inhumanity and discrimination, hunger and poverty, death and destruction. This is true. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. It is not true that violence and hatred should have the last word and that war and destruction rule forever. This is true. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting, the Prince of Peace. It is not true that we are simply victims of the powers of evil who seek to rule the world. This is true. To me is given authority in heaven and on earth, and lo, I am with you even until the end of the world. It is not true that we have to wait for those who are specially gifted, who are the prophets of the church, before we can be peacemakers. This is true. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. It is not true that our hopes for liberation of humankind, of justice, of human dignity, of peace, are not meant for this earth and for this history. This is true. The hour comes, and it is now, that the true worshipers shall worship God in spirit and in truth. So, he says, let us enter Advent in hope, even hope against hope. Let us see visions of love and peace and justice. Let us affirm with humility, with joy, with faith, with courage, Jesus Christ, the life of the world. Amen.